6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Hello, good morning. Happy July the 6th. A Brandon and Brandon edition. How about that, huh?
What is happening?
Then you got to bang the table really hard. And how we doing? How was the 4th of July weekend?
It was great, man. It was great. Really solid. Got out to a community parade and a festival. Had the kids run around, have fun there, eat a bunch of crap. Mm. And then had some dogs for dinner at a birthday party for one of my nephews. And a little bit of fireworks, but not a lot. It was mainly just listening to everybody else shooting theirs off at midnight and trying to sleep for the next day. And thankfully, to my Northwest Portland community, no one was firing them off last night when I was trying to sleep for this show. So thank you very much for that.
So are you a parade guy normally? You usually do a parade on the 4th of July. Is that a new thing for you?
I'm not crazy about the parades. It's just a thing for the kids to go see and do. I think one of my nieces was like on her bike in the parade. And it's just a short parade. It's like one of those parades that go like up and down the street,
and then
it's over.
A small little community parade, yeah, right? Yeah, really nothing serious.
Really tiny, really short. 5 minutes, you blink and it's over. Situation there, but it was fun. It was a good time mainly for the kids. You know, I was just there as making sure no one gets tripped on or stomped on.
So. I think the 4th of July, I've come to a conclusion. I've learned a lot about myself the last couple days. I think the parade for the 4th of July is the only parade I can truly get behind.
Yeah, I see that.
Now, like, there are circumstances and maybe an individual you want to celebrate or whatever that, like, yeah, championship parade, yeah. Welcome to the conversation, right? But, like, of a year-in, year-out thing when you're not winning the title, 4th of July parade is the only one that I could be like, eh, okay. But it has to be more what you did. It has to be small, community-based one. Like, I can't. The whole two-hour parade, the hour-and-a-half parade, I'm out on that. Want nothing to do with it. But if you give me, like, a 15-minute, hey, little town parade, you know, two people come through and, I don't know, soapbox derby cars are rolling through. Like, hey, something like that, I can get behind it. It's the only time I would be accepting of it. I didn't partake in a parade, but I thought about it this weekend because I had a couple people that went to parades.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know what, how would I feel about the parade? Town parades, we had one in Park Rose years and years ago when I was a little tyke, and that was probably like 5 or 6, maybe. I have a little photo of myself, and like they were throwing out Tootsie Rolls, and it went down Halsey, and that was all it did. It was just a little community one that was maybe 20 minutes long, and that's about it for me for parades. I'm not in on the lengthy, you know, hour and a half parade. I'm out on that, but I can appreciate you doing the whole small town community type vibe.
Yeah, no, it was nice. And sometimes, like, I remember the parades like I went to last year. I mean, they're just throwing out super soakers to people, and you're just firing away at the people in the parade, like the swim team.
See, if you're doing that,
begging you to shoot them with
water balloons or a water gun fight in a parade, now it's fun. All right, now that's strategy. Yeah, that's different. That's a little different. But
so it depends on the parade you go to, apparently. But
I
agree with you. Usually the 4th of July is kind of the only parade that I'm actually will be interested in going to. Any other parade, I feel like it's just a kind of a time waster, in my opinion.
I think pretty low key 4th of July for us. It was kind of odd. It was like, didn't really know what to do, didn't really know where to go. We bought fireworks day of, but it was like $30 of Oregon fireworks. So you can imagine like the cherry blossom galore that we had, which was like, I let my kids light them, but they zzz, and then they're dead. It's like, okay. And then right behind you, boom, just all these mortars are going off. You're like, yeah, okay, they're having way better time. We didn't really, it was kind of a nondescript 4th. And the one good thing is we kept our tradition alive. So the annual tradition now, and this goes back a couple years, is we have to watch Independence Day.
I mean,
if you're not going to listen to Bill Pullman give one of the greatest movie speeches of all time, I don't know what you're doing with your life, right? We will not go quietly into the night. I'm just like, yeah, let's go. And it lined up perfectly to the, you know, nighttime when you could really light the fireworks and see them. The other one was hot dog eating.
Mm-hmm.
So you had Joey Chestnut. I think he scarfed down 66, I read, 66 wieners,
oof,
which is just unbelievable. I actually think it's not the grossest contest happening that day. You know the grossest one? It's that juice lemonade contest. Do you see that?
Oh, gosh. No, but I can see it.
And so I don't know the name of the guy, but there's one guy that wins it. It feels like every year, at least I see him every year in the contest.
The new Joey Chestnut.
Chugging it. Yeah, the Joey Chestnut of juice drinking. There was a guy next to him that participated, and that guy, you could tell, was not ready for that level. He didn't stop throwing up. He just was standing still, and he's gross. Just like throwing up the whole thing. It was so awful.
No.
I only got through, this is a sad admission, I could only get 3 hot dogs.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't do more. I was like, my stomach was like, no, the hell you will not. You don't eat these normally.
Yeah.
You will not be eating more than 3 of these. And that's a sad number to admit to you. But I did a pho dog, mm-hmm. which was a little steak, all beef dog, a little hoisin sauce, a little sriracha, cilantro, onion, perfectly on it, right?
Nice.
It was delicious. Did a standard white person dog, and then I did a chili dog with cheese.
Nice.
And I was tapped after 3.
Yeah,
I'm like, dude, I don't know. I see people on my Instagram feed. They have like 6 to 8, and I don't know how they do it. I commend
breakfast,
those
lunch,
people.
Lunch and dinner, I guess.
They just wake up with a hot dog.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. I got to 3, and I'm like, I'm tapped.
Yeah.
What is this anyway? And I also realized that I don't think I'm because of how, like, it was a fine 4th of July. It wasn't awful. I had a good time, had fun, made food.
Yep.
I just am such a beach 4th of July guy that I don't know if I ever want to be in town again unless something big is being planned where there's a bunch of my family going on.
Mm-hmm.
If that's not the case, I don't know if I want to be in town ever again for the 4th. It's just infinitely better at the beach. You talk about small town community parades, every beach town seemingly delivers.
Right.
You're talking about fireworks show. Dude, you go to the beach, buy $0 of fireworks, you get the best show. And then if you want to partake and do the mortar thing, tons of beaches. You just go up there, people are lighting them up. My nephew went to Gearheart and said that a bunch of people his age, so he's like 17, a bunch of people were shooting fireworks at each other. He's like, dude, it kind of felt like a little like gangish. He was like, they were shooting legit fireworks too, like big mortar ones.
Oh no.
And they're going shooting at, kind of at cars and going crazy.
Oh.
And so he had to stay out of the way. But yeah, I've concluded that like you just can't beat the beach 4th of July. So this year was fine-ish. I next year, me and my niece were talking about this. It's beach or bust.
Okay. Yeah.
We're either at the beach or we're not doing anything.
Yeah. Because
this year was okay. It was chill. But I don't know. The day got over. I got home and I'm like, what was that 4th of July? I don't know what that 4th of July was. Very nondescript, which can be okay, but I'd rather have the beach.
Right. Yeah, I feel you. I mean, being from L.A., I missed that a lot. I missed having, I mean, not only just the fireworks on the beach, but just all the illegal fireworks firing in every direction around you, so it feels like a war zone almost. So I do miss that a lot. So, yeah, I can definitely see beach being better, and I might even take up on that too, because it was a very tame 4th of July.
Did you want a tame 4th? Like, what did you even have plans? Or I had a daze. We went on a hike in the morning that ended up being like way shorter than I thought it would be. It was just a weird, interesting vibe of like, there was nothing wrong with my day. The weather was perfect.
Right.
I was with my family, but I was also like, it's 3 o'clock already. And then I look, it's 8 o'clock already. And then we do the little fireworks day. We watch the fireworks. We go home. It's like 10:30. My dog hates fireworks, so we got to have a dog with us. And I'm just like, what was this day? The day is over. I'm like in bed. It's 11:45, 12 o'clock. I was like, I don't know what the holiday was, but, you know, it was whatever.
Yeah.
Chill, I guess.
Sure.
You could say.
Yeah.
But I'm with you there. Did you have any fireworks yesterday? Because that was a whole other thing. The leftovers.
Yeah. No, I didn't. I was kind of waiting for it. I heard one randomly fire off at like maybe 10:30, and so I got nervous, and I'm like, oh, great, I'm not going to go to sleep till midnight, 1 a.m. again for a 4 a.m. wake-up call, woohoo.
Yeah.
But no, it was just that one random one, and then it was pretty quiet in my neck of the woods, which surprised me. I was fully expecting it, so maybe everybody emptied the chambers on 4th of July, and there was no leftovers, at least in my neck of the woods.
I think because of where I'm at, it always is going to lend itself to getting the overflow into the 5th of July.
Right.
So because it's a little more country area, I'm like in this weird in-between of like, I'm really not that far away from being quote-unquote in the country, according to younger Brandon Sprague, or being a little more Happy Valley right-centric, you know? Because of where I'm at, it's like mortars going off. Not all day, I would say, but like still pretty decent amounts that you could hear.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, it's 9 o'clock. I'm like, dude, the 5th of July, 9 o'clock. I don't know what's more egregious, either the 5th of July leftovers. Like, why do you have leftovers?
Yeah, right.
Actually, I don't even think I wonder this. I think I know now, saying this out loud. Why would you have leftover fireworks that you light on the 5th? If I had any leftovers for whatever the reason, aren't you saving them for next year? Do they expire? Are they milk? I don't know what we're doing here. Versus,
save them for Labor Day.
Yeah, same for so do a different holiday, I guess. I don't know. But, like, why would you have leftovers for the 5th versus why do you light them on, like, the 28th, the 29th, 30th of June?
Right.
We had them on the 30th of June. There were, like, two mortars that went off. I'm like, really? 5 days out, huh? But I can at least understand the anticipation of the holiday, the big 250 holiday.
Right.
Where you're like, okay, let's get in the mood. Let's start to kind of build it up. The 5th of July, it's like, you had your day. I mean, you had the whole day.
It's just a Sunday.
You could have lit your baby fireworks in the daytime where you don't really care about seeing them. And then you go crazy with the mortars at the nighttime. What are we doing here? Why are the 5th of July? Do we have any fireworks left over? What did you not get done on the 4th?
Right. What were you doing?
I just kept thinking about that. I'm like, how can you possibly have any left over? You had all night. I had fireworks going off at 1 a.m. in my area.
Oof.
Which is like, whatever. I'll sleep through it. I understand. Like, nobody's going to be perfect. I know what I'm signing up for here. It's more the, like, 7:30, 8 o'clock, July 5th. Boom. What are we doing?
It's still light outside.
Yeah, it's still light outside. Why do you have so much carryover? Unbelievable.
Yeah, I think the only state that can still have leftovers is Utah, because they do Pioneer Day in like on the 24th of July.
What's Pioneer Day?
Pioneer Day is basically celebrating the pioneers coming into Utah and establishing the state.
No kidding.
So it's a very Mormon heavy, Utah heavy.
It's a big holiday. Oh, okay.
It's basically the second 4th of July for them.
So they just light up a ton
of
fireworks.
They just do the same.
Day?
It's like a rerun. They basically do the same deal of fireworks and all stuff. So
what's the date on that?
The 24th.
The 24th of June or July?
Of July. So,
oh, so
literally
you get two
4th
of July,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah. You literally have 2 weeks after the 4th of July to do another basically 4th of July.
Yeah.
So that would be the only exception, I think, to having leftovers. Other than that, I don't know what you're doing on the 4th that you still have leftovers.
Yeah, I mean, again, if you have a holiday, what's the next holiday? It's probably Labor Day, right?
Day. Yeah.
So Labor Day, it'd be an odd day to fire firework off. Yeah, labor.
Like, catching people off guard.
Yeah, catching people off guard. You want to light a couple on a Labor Day? I can at least go, oh, it is Labor Day. You know what I mean? It doesn't make sense in my brain, but it kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Whereas like the 5th of July at 9 o'clock at night, I'm like, how? How?
<Yeah.
laughs> how did you not accomplish your goal here? But overall, it was a good weekend. I was sad to miss Thursday's program because we had a big NBA trade.
We warned you. It was going to be something big.
It didn't involve our Blazers.
It did not involve our Blazers.
I probably, honestly, if the Blazers would have been the 76ers in the Jaylen Brown trade, I'm like 98% sure I would have pivoted and been in the show.
Yeah.
Because I only took Thursday off because I knew he was going to be out on Monday.
Right.
And I'm sitting here on a Monday and I'm thinking to myself, because I thought going in Thursday would be the best day given that we had Friday off. So next year it'll be Monday that we have off because the 4th of July is going to be on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking about like who had the better day off. And it's easy in the moment to be saying he did because like it's Monday and it's 6:15 a.m. I still think I had the better deal.
Okay.
I got the Thursday off. I go into the day off, so like it feels like it is a bonus day, but in a weird way, it just feels like an even better bonus day. Whereas by Sunday, dude, because my 4th was so low key, had I come back on a Sunday late evening from the coast, maybe my tune is a little different here, and I'm
right.
Like, damn, dude, I wish I had Monday off. But because I didn't go anywhere, I didn't really do anything, my Sunday ended up being more entertaining to me than my Saturday. I think because of that, I'm okay coming in Monday. Plus, we got all this World Cup stuff to talk about today.
A lot of World Cup stuff.
We're going to double dip the Blazer chip. I'm going to get the Blazer stuff today. And then we've got Eric Gunderson, a Blazer banter. He's going to join us at 9 a.m. So we'll dive into full. Are the Blazers done? It certainly feels to me, Brandon, that they are done doing anything of real substance. I hope I'm wrong on this, and we'll dive into it. But I don't have a lot of faith or feel going into today's radio program that we're going to get big Blazer news. I'm more afraid that they're going to announce that we've re-signed Matisse Thybulle or we've brought back Trendon Watford. Like, that's kind of where my brain is going now with this team. And I'm like, this is the team? This is going to be the team? You're just going to roll Matisse Thybulle out with this team and say, all right, you got it? That may be a wrong take and a wrong feel, but I think coming into today's radio program, it certainly has that feel.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's been very quiet. I mean, really, all on the NBA front, it's been quiet, I feel like, just over the weekend. So, but yeah, you would think, we were thinking maybe there'd be another Blazer deal, maybe. Mm. And now it feels like, no, I think this is what they want. I think they're going to stick with this. So it'll be, again, the faith is fading, I think, on having, you know, the big offseason that we were hoping for. And
well, they would argue. See, here's the counter argument.
They would argue they already had their big off. Like they've gotten their moves done.
Have we got? I don't have checked my. I didn't see anything on my work email. Have they announced when they're doing Jaws press conference?
Ooh,
they probably have it, right? Like if they're going to sign Matisse or something, they probably do like a joint, a weird one where like two people, Danny and somebody else, asks Matisse what it was like to come back or be wanted again, you know? And it's like, oh, it's a good answer, but it's like, I kind of want more about the Jaws stuff. I haven't seen anything in my email that says when their press conference is. Now, if somebody out there knows, you can correct the record here, but I don't even know when they're doing the introductory press conference, but I would just say they probably view internally the Ja Morant trade was not nothing.
Right.
Right? It's a big name. Now, was it the sexy splash trade? No, because it was Jeremy Grant and Chris Murray for a down, hoping to revitalize the career Ja Morant. So it's a swing and it's a move, but it's a clear, easy, like we're upgrading in talent from what we have these guys to what we think he can be. But I think their argument would simply be like, we did make the move. You may not like the move. You may not love the move or understand the move, but we made the move. You just didn't know the move was Ja Morant and not Jaylen Brown.
Right.
Or not Trey Murphy. I don't know if they can get Rui Hachimura on the mid-level. Maybe they can because teams are being weird with their cap space right now. There's clearly a big cap space conversation that needs to be had about the league and the way that we're doling out contracts, a lot of 1 and 2 year deals.
Mm-hmm.
Some guys going for, look, I'm not the biggest Ant Simons guy, okay? Anthony Simons on a 2 year, $12 million deal is insane. Like, again, I think he has his limits. He can get you 25 on a given night, $6 million. So I think the league is telling us itself how they view their current circumstance. And so we can get to some of that today, but yeah, I would argue that they would probably just say to people like you, we did make the move, Brandon.
Yeah.
It just was Ja Morant, and you didn't see it come. Nobody saw that coming.
And I'm okay with that, too, but I also thought there would still be more moves to be made, mm-hmm. at least one or two more. And it doesn't have to be a Ja Morant-size type of move, just little roster moves to kind of just
– more balance, right?
Yes, exactly.
That's where we're at. We want more balance.
Correct, yes.
Yeah, I was texting with people, and I'm just like, over the weekend, because I'm seeing nothing, like, can you believe they're doing nothing? And it was, I got more of a, I mean, yeah, I can believe it. And then I was like, okay, that makes sense, I guess, from a surface level. You would think that they'd want balance. And I don't know if signing Matisse Thybulle changes much of the balance outside of saying, well, he fits a positional need.
Right.
You know, if it's Trey Murphy and they make a move, like, cool. But it's be interesting. We'll get into it coming up. As we double dip the Blazer chip today, Jake Zivin's going to join us, MLS superstar. He is back from his vacation. The World Cup fever has caught, I think, America. It was a great weekend of soccer and football, so we'll dive fully into that. I got a bizarre story in a sport. I just don't understand it. It's going to be a loaded show, a lot of fun. Dirt and Sprague, let's get it going. We start next on a Monday. Happy July the 6th. Welcome back. on 105.1 The Fan. All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague with you. Good morning. Happy July the 6th, everybody. A lot to get to today. Dirt is out today. He'll be back tomorrow. He'll be full strength. Swag will also be back. Boy, I got to be honest with you. We can talk about this tomorrow with him on the air, but I have felt a little awful about this, but the truth is Swag has texted us maybe 9 times, and we've not responded to any of them.
Are you surprised by that?
I actually am. Yeah, I am, actually. It's one thing to text, like, if you're in El Paso, right, for an emergency, or you're in New York to visit family, or you're, I don't know, in California or something. It's one thing to do that. The amount of times he has texted being in Italy and on a cruise was a little surprising. I got to be honest. And, like, we just got to a point where it was, we were trying to tell him without actually saying it, dude, enjoy yourself. You don't need to text. It's okay. I see the photos on Twitter. I'm following the journey. You did not swim 500 yards away from your boat like you claim you do in the Pacific. But we never responded, and I felt so bad on the 4th. I was largely away from my phone, but, like, he texted us on the 4th, hey, boys, final journey, heading back, flying back, be in Tuesday. Happy 4th. Crickets. And I just want to tell him when I see him tomorrow, it wasn't anti you. I enjoy the journey. Sounds like your trip was awesome. We just wanted you to stop thinking about work. And look, it's great that we all have a good working relationship, but texting me on your vacation makes me think you're thinking about work. Mm. So I just wanted him to know it's okay. You don't need to reach out to us. But I'm happy to have him back. It's been great to have you with us.
Thank you.
But it'll be nice to see him and find out how Italy was and how the 45 sails of a boat he was on was, what that journey was. So Swag will be back. Dirt is back. We're back to full strength tomorrow. We'll get into a lot here. I actually have something in the notes that I want to get to at 6:45 of something that happened yesterday, and it needs to be publicly aired. It kind of lines up with the weekend. So I wasn't obviously here last Thursday, but then you had Thursday, and then we were off Friday. So it's a really crazy thing to make a show sheet for a Monday when you got to go back all the way to like a Thursday afternoon on. And there was a lot of fun stuff over the weekend, the World Cup, which I want to get to here in just a minute. The one thing that was clearly a big talking point and will continue to be so, seeing how the season's not that far away and a big narrative, the analytics stuff in sports has really popped up, and mainly in basketball. But I'll tell you why I'm going to bring it up at 6:45, not involving Jaylen Brown. We will talk about that a little bit. Very odd how it's being framed. But something happened in sports that I want to talk about because it doesn't sit right with me. But before we get to that, World Cup fever, and raise your hand out there. Actually, don't raise your hand if you're driving. Be responsible. But raise your hand mentally, or actually raise your hand if you also, like me, saw the news of Balogun having his red card overturned in reverse so he could play against Belgium tonight and instantly thought what I thought. Oh, the president got on the phone with the FIFA guy, huh? Like, I didn't need CNN or Washington Post, whoever that was that reported it. I didn't need them to tell me that. Great job, I guess, reporting it. We all knew what the deal was. It's in North America. Didn't he get, like, the FIFA Peace Prize? It's like he can't get the Nobel Peace Prize, and he's always wanted it, so it's like their way of like, hey, man, we're a corrupt organization. What do you need? I want a peace prize. You got it. We'll make one for you. And they gave it to him. It's the most obvious thing that he clearly got on the horn and was like, he will be playing. Now, I did see this morning, I don't know where it's going to lead, Belgium has been given the right to appeal the overturning of the red card, which, politics be damned, that's an egregious red card. I watched a pretty decent chunk of English Premier League soccer this year for the first time in my life. I picked a team. They were pretty terrible, but it was a fun journey, and I watched a lot of soccer, more than I ever had in my life. I have seen that accidental play happen like 4 different times during the season. Never seen a red card. I'm not saying that, like, there aren't examples of it being a red card. I'm sure you can go find the videos online. I just, when we're talking about red card stuff, it's got to be overly egregious. And I didn't think that was overly egregious. So I was a little surprised he got ejected from it. Didn't matter. They ended up winning anyway. And it was fantastic. Boy, the scene. Well, I mean, just, it was so perfect. And I cannot wait to see what they're going to do tonight against Belgium. But to get past Bosnia and, you know, you do it, you score another goal, one man down. Like, the whole thing was great. The red card was the thing hanging over it. And everybody made it the joke of doing the Uno reverse card picture that everybody photoshopped. But yeah, man, you're going to tell me, Brandon, that when you saw the news that his red card, which I think everybody's looked it up, this doesn't happen. They don't just reverse it. No. It's not the protocol in any way. That the, what is this? Is it Infantino? Is that the guy that runs FIFA, the bald guy?
I believe that's his
name. When they announced it, like, we all thought the same thing, did we not? The Parisi of the Steezy got on the horn and was like, the hell you will. And they went, you're right, the hell we will. He's playing now.
Yes, I was stunned. We were 4 days past the game. We all know how red cards work in soccer.
Yeah.
You're not playing the next game.
Yep.
Everyone was not only had probably accepted that, but we had moved on from it and already were looking ahead to, okay, how do we win this game without him?
Who's going
to
step up?
Who is, yeah, we one, all who's going that. In that yes. role? And two, how are we going to score without
exactly.
him? So for that news to come out was just stunning because I was like, is this even possible? And apparently this has happened, I think it was 62 with Brazil that this thing has happened. That's the last time it such a occurrence has happened. So that's a long time.
62 is so
yes,
long.
That's ago. Almost 60 years that this is that this has happened. So yeah, it is great for us.
Hey man, if we're going to get some corruption out of FIFA, at least give it to us.
We're going to get a little handshake for hosting this tournament. Sure.
We've done an exceptional job hosting, by the way. Yeah, all right. Of these foreigners coming over here to support their countries, they seem like they're great. They've had a great time being in, you know, getting into our culture, into trying like our fatty foods. You've had people in different communities welcome all these different. We played the old man audio from Lawrence, Kansas, and they were like all about the Algeria team and they're rooting for Algeria and just delightful examples of video out there. People coming together, enjoying each other's company, live watch. I mean, bars. It seems like bars all over America are crushing right now when they're doing these live World Cup watch parties. It just, I don't know, man. I'm thinking about going somewhere today. I'm not usually a guy that go like 5 o'clock in the evening.
Yeah,
that's not usually me.
I think Providence Park is having a watch party.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Is that
good luck getting in there, but yeah
that's
like
still.
I mean, that's how big this is.
It just seems so fun, right?
Like,
And I was somebody that came into this because of the level of corruption, because of the price gouging. It was turning me off. It was. And yeah, it wasn't a great take, I'll admit it. But I was like, yeah, I'm not really that excited. I hated seeing all of the price point stuff and, you know, the tourism was less than what they project. It was just making me bummed out. And the news can do that. But then the event started and you started getting these videos and you got Mo Salah at Spokane, Washington. And you've got all these different teams going to these different communities. You had Erling Haaland, who is, boy, you want to talk about a beast, just tearing it apart right now in the World Cup, and he's in the Golden Boot competition. He's all in on the American cultural experience. He's going to coffee shops, and old ladies are like, you're a famous soccer player? And he's like, no, not me at all. It's like, yeah, he's one of the best in the world, actually. So it's been great. I've fully dove in. I've loved all. I thought the matches this weekend, boy, Cape Verde and Argentina.
Oh, man.
Like, and the good thing about soccer and a World Cup is we want to make a movie on a country that lost. Like the
right.
takeaway was
right.
the team that lost is the team that should get the movie. And they were given a hero's welcome when they went back home and they pushed Messi in Argentina. Even France, it wasn't like France was lighting it up in their last match.
Oh, because Paraguay were a bunch of punks that were basically pushing them around.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, it kept them in it. It
oh,
kept
for sure.
them around
That's
in it.
That's the strategy, yeah.
For them. You had a couple blowout, Canada and their manager coming out and be like, I'd rather be us than Morocco. You lost 3-0. Yeah. Shut up. Just shut up. Go home. But, like, you've had some – and then yesterday, I thought the match last night was that's one of the best soccer matches I've ever watched with England and Mexico. So I'm excited about tonight and what it's going to bring us. Is USA going to advance? They're getting one of their best players back. His red card is reversed. It doesn't happen often. Here is Alejandro Moreno on the suspension being overturned for Balogun.
Do you think it would have happened had it been a Belgian player? Mm. Had it been Kevin De Bruyne, one of their key players, if he had gone through the same thing, would that red card have been reversed? And the answer to me is unequivocally no. Historically, this has not happened. And so it looks like preferential treatment. It looks like the United States are benefiting from it because they're the host country, because they're the United States. And that's not the image that you want from this World Cup. The United States on their own, as a team on the field, they've proven to be a very competitive team. And it seems like they're getting help from somewhere else. And it's not the look that you would want for this team. It's not the look that this team deserves.
Do you agree with that?
I understand that.
You don't want the look?
Yeah, I understand that.
I don't think Americans agree with that. They want the best player that they can get.
In no way do we want special treatment. But at the same time, in sports, I always want the call to get right. And I think they got the call right switching this.
He should have never been given a red card.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think after the days after that match, I didn't hear one person say, oh, well, that was a red card. I think everyone's arguing that it shouldn't have been. It shouldn't even have been a red card. So for them to come back and say, oh, we're gonna write this wrong, I'm good with that too. I understand that's not the soccer culture. I understand that's not how this works. The process was probably wrong in itself. But at the end of the day, they got the call right. So I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's easy for me as an American that wants to see America do something it's never done. Like, it's easy for me to sit here and say, yeah, they got it right. But, like, also, why is VAR stepping in and red carding that?
Yeah, they shouldn't. I think they shouldn't have, and they definitely shouldn't have come in with a slow-mo replay and saying, oh,
slow-mo replays are the worst thing to happen in sports and replay in general. It makes everything seem so much worse, whereas in real time, it's two guys going for the ball. His foot hits the back of his foot. It doesn't look on purpose to me, and right. Now we're reviewing, oh, red card, you're gone. And it's like, I totally understand the side of it's, you know, if you're not rooting for America, being frustrated by the overturning of it, and we'll see what the appeal is. I don't even know what the appeals process, how it works with Belgium and what they're going to get today.
I don't think it's going to get done in time.
I don't think so either, but obviously, yeah, it was fixed a little bit to get him back. I also didn't think he should have got a red card for it.
Sure.
So I'm kind of sitting here as an ugly American telling you, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Jordan Trug, what do you want?
Yeah. Right.
Shouldn't have been suspended anyway.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, the right thing I think has been done. So we'll have one of our best players back, United States, Belgium. We'll dive into that coming up in the 8 a.m. hour. Jake Zimmern will join us at 8:27, get his thoughts on the U.S. versus Belgium, which is tonight at 5 o'clock. FIFA coming in and overturning Flo Balogun's suspension from their last match against Bosnia. A lot more to get into. Something egregious that analytics stepped in the way of, or is it just people being dumb? That's next on The Fan.
Not trying to be a chotch.
All right, welcome back in. Poll question is up. Should U.S. soccer fans feel bad about getting preferential treatment with FIFA allowing Folarin Balogun to play versus Belgium tonight? No. Hell no. Yes. You can vote at Dirt and Sprague. There's our first poll question of the day. Soccer coverage on The Fan is presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi. One prize, 5 years guaranteed. Xfinity. Imagine that. A lot to get to today. We'll dive back into World Cup action, World Cup fever over the weekend, the extended holiday weekend. Hope everybody had a good 4th of July. We'll talk with Jake Zivin, our good friend. He is co-host of Timber Fan with Patrick Harris on Tuesdays. And I believe I was told yesterday that show is back to full strength tomorrow as Zivin was on vacation and the World Cup has put a pause to the MLS season. And so one of the national broadcasters of the MLS, Jake Zivin, will join us at 8:27 today. We'll double dip the Blazer chip at 9:05 a.m. We'll talk with our good friend Eric Garcia Gunderson of Blazer Banter, the AP, the very own. Are the Blazers done? We can tease that coming up for the top of the hour. Are you okay if this is the off season? They just add a Matisse Thybulle, a Trendon Watford, or are you expecting them to make another move? I'll probably put a poll question up on that, and we'll dive fully into it coming up at 7. Jaylen Brown was traded, and I missed that show. What was Dirt's take on Jaylen Brown? I didn't catch any of it.
I think he was just confused about it. I think the main takeaway we had on that day was that we feel like the Blazers missed an opportunity.
Hmm.
And that
he was confused by that's all it took to get Jaylen Brown.
Exactly.
Okay.
We were just confused by how little the Sixers had to give up for it.
Yeah.
And then looking at the Blazers and like, well, we could have easily matched that or even gave you a better offer. But
yeah.
The fact that one, we weren't interested, the Blazers were not interested, and two, it just feels like Joe Cronin is just not taking big swings and big risks with these rosters.
Again, let me
go for a big move.
Now look, I'm not playing cover here because I've been critical of the front office here. I feel like some people are never critical of it. I've been critical. I've liked some moves, and I've had a lot of questions about other moves. He did take a big swing. He brought in Ja Morant. Now, you don't have to like the fit or why or that's the move. You don't have to like that. Certainly, that can be the opinion. But it is a swing. I mean, an organization coming in, cheap owner's been big narrative. They're going through this city funding problem where these, you know, politicians haven't even seen any proposals and they're popping off on what they're never going to vote yes on. But it's also a big offseason roster thing. And so, like, I would just say anybody saying you didn't take the swing, you don't have to like or think it's a huge swing, but it is a swing to bring Ja Morant into a situation when Ja Morant is coming off of oft injured. And, oh, by the way, not a great shooter. And, oh, by the way, had some off-court situations pop up the last couple years. And we can get fully into that because I'm largely with everybody. I don't know why Boston felt they had to do it right now, that deal. But part of the conversation around the Jaylen Brown trade has been analytics. And analytics, boy, you want to see people argue. Bring up analytics and give me pro analytics guy and give me eyeball test guy and lock him in a cage. It's Mankind versus Undertaker type stuff. Somebody is getting thrown off the top of that cage. By God, he killed him. You know what I mean? That's what we're dealing. We got a Jim Ross, by God, we killed him type situation. If you lock analytics versus eyeball, ball-knowing guy in a cage match. I don't know who wins it. Probably going to be the ball-knowing guy because everybody's viewpoints of analytic guy is nerdy guy, but analytics has been a big part of this. Well, there's also, as all the sports are dabbling in analytics, and I love how we use that as a catch-all and versus like having any context of conversation with it, analytics has been heavy in baseball for quite some time, right? We go back to Moneyball era and how people are viewing rosters and how baseball has kind of evolved and changed. Yesterday, something in sports happened that has quite a few people upset. Now, it's not a game you need to care about unless you're randomly a fan of these two teams. I'm certainly not. I hate one of these teams, in fact. Yesterday, the Miami Marlins played in Sacramento against the Sacramento Vegas Oakland A's, okay? And in a game that I didn't really have any concern with, what I read was the Miami Marlin manager, Clayton McCullough, did something that would have pissed me off to the 10th degree, the highest of degrees you can go. He pulled Yuri Perez going into the eighth inning, having pitched 7 full innings of perfect baseball. 7 innings, perfect through 7. And he pulls Yuri Perez. He brings in relief guy, and the Marlins went from having an 8-run lead to winning 9-8. It might be, I don't know what you have planned. Okay, I can see some of your cuts. The first time in stinking it up history might be a team that ended up winning because the manager of the Marlins pulled his pitcher who was perfect through 7. And I read his post-game stuff. You know, is pulling at my heartstrings to pull him, but we had a pitch count, and he's important to us, and we think we could be a playoff team, and damn. Numbers, nerd, out of the way. This is a perfect game. There's only been, 24 of these? What are you doing? If you're Yuri Perez, are you not hot right now? You were six outs away. And I his stuff might have been, it wasn't quite the best, and he wasn't quite doing what we thought he would. And, you know, I thought he was getting out of some jams or situations. Okay, cool. He was still getting out of them. And this is where pitch count, you know, some of that stuff, that's where you will lose me. Analytics can be a very multi-layered conversation, and I'm willing to listen to a lot of opinions about it. You're six outs away from a perfect game, and you're pulling him. If I'm a Marlins fan, all five of them, I am irate today, Brandon, about them being pulling a pitcher six outs from a perfect game. The madness has gone too far. When we get to these situations, I hate when I see this with no hitters. When you add a perfect game element into it, you just, come on, man. A game I didn't care about, a game I'm not really watching. But then they get the alert, perfect game, perfect game, perfect through, perfect through. And then we find out the manager pulls him after seven innings of being perfect. And then it would have been poetic justice if the A's would have completed the comeback and won the game.
Yes.
Because, my God, take your numbers and shove them where the sun don't shine. But just ridiculous to have the opinion of pitch count and longevity. Dude, he's six outs away from accomplishing something that almost none of those guys do. You got to let them do it.
Yeah.
I think you got to let them do it.
Yeah, I fully agree with you. I don't understand. Why are we not chasing history? Why are we not going for something that's only been done 24 times?
Because they had a 90 to 93 pitch count on him.
I don't care.
And they were not budging according
to the manager.
I don't
care what the pitch count is. If he's at 92 and he gave up five runs, sure.
Utterly
ridiculous. But he's given up no runs. He's given up no hits, no runs in seven
the
innings.
The A's fans, by the way, booed the Marlins.
As they should have.
When the next pitcher
and
came
that
out.
That is correct baseball reaction.
I totally agree.
You absolutely should. I don't care if your team's down 8-0.
You want to see a perfect game, do you not? And you're an A's fan. You're not. They're not going to be there for more than 2 years.
This is probably the best game of their season.
Exactly.
And they're getting shut out.
And they pull the pitcher who's perfect. Just it's egregious. It should be talked about. He should be shamed. Sports tarred and feathered, man. That's what we should be doing with Clayton McCullough as he pulls Yuri Perez from a perfect game six outs away because of pitch count stuff. It's just utterly ridiculous.
92 is not even a lot of pitches.
It is for them.
I just think there should have been a, unless he's playing perfect baseball, don't pull him.
Well, we're like, sitting in this. We don't want him to get hurt and lose him for the postseason stuff.
Care, man.
Go for
history.
I hated it.
Go for history.
Let the
man have a moment.
I agree with you. Loaded second hour. The Blazers, are they done? We'll kick off hour number two. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1, The Fan.